Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back. And today I have one of the superstars at the OU, Nathan Diamond, who's our director of our IPA, our office in Washington, and has been involved in so many different things and different legislation. And today we're really going to focus in on one event that was really the terrible storm that we had of Sandy and the aftermath, and what Nathan has been doing to try to make sure that our synagogues and our community centers and our yeshivas really get funding, which up until now has been somewhat problematic. So, Nathan, how are you today?
Well, thank you, Steve.
Well, that's good to hear that, Nathan. So you're a pro at this because you've done this once before in Seattle, Washington. So why don't you tell everybody about what happened in Seattle?
Well, in Seattle in 2000, there was an earthquake in the Northwest, and the Seattle Hebrew Academy, which is one of the day schools out there, had its buildings severely damaged. And they applied, like all kinds of other institutions, they applied to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, to receive federal aid to rebuild their building, and they were denied that aid, essentially on the basis that they were a private religious school. You were president of the OU at the time, Steve, so you remember very well. You were involved as well. That we basically took their case to the Bush administration. President George W. Bush was in office at the time, and worked with them to actually get the executive branch to reverse FEMA's decision in that case by executive order. And then subsequently, we worked with Congress to amend the federal law under which FEMA operates to make it clear that non-public schools, including religious schools, are eligible for federal disaster aid on the same terms as public schools.
So here's my question. If we did it, then why are we having a problem now?
Well, we did it then for schools. So now the challenge that's come up, so all the Jewish day schools, like Hebrew Academy of Long Beach, for example, or other kinds of parochial schools that were damaged in Hurricane Sandy, they are not having any issues because we fixed the law several years ago. But what we were unable to fix in the statute several years ago was with regard to houses of worship themselves, so synagogues, churches, and the like. And so we are now in the process of working. Again, after Hurricane Sandy, within a few days, we reached out to senior officials in the Obama administration and started conversations with them about the churches and the synagogues. We were not able to get a positive outcome from the executive branch, so we turned to Congress to try to legislate fair treatment and equal treatment for the houses of worship in federal disaster aid. And that's what we're in the middle of right now.
Why do you think, by the way, you weren't, under the Bush administration, you were able to get them to be supportive, whereas right now, so far, under the Obama administration, they haven't been supportive of this? What's the reason behind it?
Well, we benefited at the time with the Bush administration. President Bush and his administration had a very broad agenda, which was known as the faith-based initiative. And what that was really all about was making sure that all kinds of federal programs treated all religious institutions fairly and equally with secular institutions. And that was very high on President Bush's agenda, and so that issue fit right in very neatly. With the Obama administration, that sort of policy agenda is not, you know, in their top five. and there's resistance, frankly, in the bureaucracy. Career folks at FEMA really are not sympathetic to what it is that we are pressing for.
Yeah, just let's go back for one moment, because people hear about FEMA and people don't really understand it. So how does it work? I mean, does it work? Are they the official insurance agency division for disasters? And if you need money, how does it work?
Right. So, I mean, they're the federal agency that is responsible for disaster response and many dimensions of disaster response, right? So, you know, and it's not just about financial. It's they coordinate, you know, if there's a natural disaster and the state, like the governor or the mayor or whomever needs, they need National Guard troops, or they need other kinds of federal assistance. You know, FEMA is the coordinating agency. Part of what FEMA does is provide funds for repair and reconstruction of all kinds of things. Part of what it does is provide assistance to homeowners, you know, and other kinds of facilities that need to be repaired and rebuilt. Now, what's the general rule across the board is before you get to the government, you deal with your insurance, right? So if you're a homeowner, right, you have to first deal with your home insurance, your flood insurance, what have you. Same thing if you're a building owner. And then if either you didn't have insurance or your insurance was not large, you know, won't pay you enough to cover, you know, 100% of your damages, then at that point you can start turning to the government programs. And what's relevant for the houses of worship here is that the way the process works would be if a shul was damaged, you know, let's say they had $1 million of damage. If they get $250,000 from their insurance company, okay, so that's $250,000. Then the next step, actually, in the case of a house of worship, if we get this legislation passed, will be that they then would apply for a loan from the federal government, which would be a very, very low interest, almost a zero interest loan. But in the first instance, they would apply for a loan. And if they were, for some reason, denied the loan, or if, let's say, they needed another, you know, $500,000, but they could only get a loan for $200,000, then they would potentially be eligible for a grant from FEMA to cover the difference. So it's a multi-stage process.
I see. So normally it's a loan, and then maybe a grant.
Well, not normally. In other words, that's the first step, is applying for a loan.
Now, if you don't have insurance at all, let's say there was a shul that had no mm-hmm. insurance for this, then FEMA, they could possibly go to FEMA to either get a loan or maybe a grant towards
Correct.
Help repairing it. Okay, I see. Okay. So the issue right now is that you're a shul. Now, what about if you're like a community center, like a JCC or something like that?
Right. So that's one of the things. The reason why we are contending that the current policy, the current law is not fair, is because there are all kinds of other nonprofit institutions which are eligible and which FEMA is assisting. So those would include community centers, like a JCC or a YMCA, all other nonprofits that are covered include daycare centers, include museums, include senior centers. There are all kinds. I mean, it's not every single kind of nonprofit, but there are many, many types of nonprofits which are covered. But FEMA, even though the statute does not explicitly prohibit aid to houses of worship, FEMA's interpretation of the statute is to prohibit aid to houses of worship.
It really sounds pretty interesting that they're actually going to fund a school, but they won't fund a shul.
Correct.
Okay. So we have Sandy comes about, unfortunately, and, you know, devastating. Certainly I know about it, living in the Five Towns, so I know all about it and have witnessed it personally. It comes along and, you know, you have a shul. Like one of the shuls I belong to, the Young Israel Woodmere. That's mm-hmm. a good example. So obviously they had damage. They had pretty severe damage. So when this happened, you found out about it. So what are the steps that you had to take in order to get to the first round? I mean, you know, we're only in the first round. It's the end of February 2013. What's happened so far?
Well, again, we had long discussions with folks in the Obama administration for a number of weeks, and they didn't say no right away, so to speak. So, you know, we were talking with them for a number of weeks trying to get them.
Who do you have to speak to, by the way? Like you said, the Obama administration.
I mean, we were dealing with people. FEMA falls under the Department of Homeland Security, so we were dealing with senior people in the Department of Homeland Security. And and then we dealt with some people in the White House, and then ultimately, actually, that we were referred to the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. His name is Sean Donovan, and he was he's from New York City originally, and the president appointed him as sort of the ad hoc point person for Sandy response across the entire executive branch. So we had a couple of meetings with Secretary Donovan, but again, we weren't able to get to yes with them. So we turned to the Congress, and we tried first to fix it when, you know, there was, as many of your listeners are probably aware, there was a lot of press attention. You know, the first thing the Congress did it took them a few attempts, but they appropriated $60 billion to aid New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and the other areas that were damaged by Sandy. And we worked to try to get an amendment into that bill to address this issue. Senator Joe Lieberman was our champion for that. Unfortunately, due to other political issues associated with that appropriations bill, we did not succeed at getting it in. And so we had to go back to the drawing board. And so ultimately we crafted a new piece of legislation, a standalone piece of legislation, which Congressman Chris Smith, a Republican from New Jersey, and Congresswoman Grace Meng, who is a freshman Democrat from New York City, were our lead sponsors. And we successfully, with a lot of effort and many coalition partners, moved the bill through the House last week. And last week it was overwhelmingly passed by the House by a vote of 354-72. And now we are working very intensively to get it moved through the Senate just as quickly and as positively.
Now, is there resistance on the part of, you know, you think on the Senate, or what's your feeling?
We're still in the early discussions with the Senate. We hope we'll be able to move it through pretty quickly. I mean, what's interesting is, this is in today's paper, so to speak, in the Jewish community. There's an article in the Forward and some stories on JTA. There is resistance to this bill from the far left, from folks who have a very absolute and strict approach to separation of church and state, and who believe that there should be no government funding going to religious institutions under any circumstances whatsoever, even in response to a natural disaster. What's interesting here is that the situation of Hurricane Sandy and a natural disaster has scrambled the politics a little bit within the Jewish community, and some of the folks who are traditionally in that camp of opposing any kind of government funds going to religious groups are either neutral or are with us on this. So the American Jewish Committee, which is traditionally opposed to government aid to religious institutions, is with us and in our coalition. And the Anti-Defamation League, interestingly, a couple days ago, actually last week when the House was debating the bill, the ADL said they were against it. But just yesterday, ADL's National Director Abe Foxman released a statement saying they are not going to oppose this legislation.
Normally they would oppose it. They're not. They believe in a stricter interpretation of separation of church.
Well, they
and
did oppose it last week.
They opposed it last week. So what happened? Why did they change their mind?
They saw, first of all, they see the need in the community, and I think they also saw an overwhelming vote in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. We're happy.
But now, someone like ADL, I mean, they're a not-for-profit institution, correct?
Yeah.
And they don't pay taxes, right?
I presume not.
No, I see. Okay. No, I'm just saying it's kind of interesting that, I mean, they're, you know, they talk about separation of church and state. I mean, you know, so that's it, that they are a religious institution, not a religious institution, just a not-for-profit institution, and have certain privileges. We don't have to get into that now. But okay, so they are now in the camp, and
our other partners, I should say. I mean, one of our partners all along has been the Catholics, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and the Archdiocese in New York and New Jersey. We also have the Jewish Federation. UJA in New York and nationally, Jewish federations are working with us. The National Association of Evangelicals, So we have a nice interfaith coalition.
Well, that's great.
And hopefully, you know, that will also help us.
So what's the time frame? So let's assume things go well. What's the time frame on getting it passed to? I guess then it goes to the president, who I guess would sign it, right?
Yeah. And what we are the Senate has been out this week in Washington. They've been in recess, and we are talking to staff in key Senate offices. Senator Gillibrand from New York is taking on the role of helping us lead the effort in the Senate, we're hoping that we can, you know, there are a number of key senators that we need to meet with, including the senator from Delaware, Tom Carper, who succeeded Joe Lieberman as the chairman of the Senate's Homeland Security Committee. Mm-hmm. And we're having those meetings, and we hope that if all goes well, we'll be able to have the Senate move this, in the next few weeks.
And so let's assume it passes. So what could the Shuls expect? I mean, is there a dollar limit what they could ask for? Will they be getting loans or grants, or how will
they? Again, it would be a process where in the first instance, they have to get, you know, whatever they're going to get from their insurance if they have
it.
And then,
right.
Then they would apply for what would essentially be a zero interest loan. And then if the loan was not sufficient to assist them, there would be the availability of grants. Mm-hmm. Exactly what the dollar figures are is hard to know right now because, it doesn't only depend on how many synagogues or how many houses of worship or even how many nonprofits generally, you know, need assistance. It's sort of the whole global Sandy recovery effort, and $60 billion is a considerable amount of money, but there was also a huge amount of damage. So how it all gets prorated and apportioned, is going to be a long process. But they will definitely be able to get, you know, more assistance than they can get right now.
Right. Well, no, listen, I think it's absolutely fantastic, and that's why I wanted the listening audience to know about this, because sometimes they don't understand all that we do at the OU and, in the IPA. Sometimes they hear some political statements, which is obviously things that we get involved in sometimes, but this is really, really, you're talking about domestic issues, you're talking about relevance to our own community. I mean, this is exactly what we're talking about. So, Nathan, once again, who else but you would do this? It's really incredible. I mean, the Jewish community owes you a great debt of gratitude, and we at the OU, of course, have the highest regard for you for what you're doing. And it's not easy. People see it. Oh, the House passed the legislation, and maybe the Senate will pass it. Well, hundreds and hundreds of hours go into this, and a lot of sweat goes into this, and all the skills that you have in order to get this done. So let's hope we are successful, and we can get the bill passed in the Senate and get the president to sign it, and it'll be a wonderful thing for all of our shuls. And hopefully, we shouldn't need it again. But if it's there, at least, God forbid something happens, at least we'll have the legislation in place, which is really great. That's it. Anything else, Nathan, you want to add
to
this?
No, thank you very much for your for taking the time. And, we're able to do this because of the leadership of the OU providing, the platform and the resources for us to be able to do it. And we're here to serve the community.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Okay?
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.